These axioms defined the subject's field of activity, separating it from irrelevant or incompatible elements. Biology and poetry, for instance, started from mutually exclusive premises. Thus, mythical beasts were not a part of biology, and biology had no need to be written in the form of poetry. This logical approach released entire fields of knowledge, giving them the potential to discover whole new sets of truths. It was to be 2 millennia before these definitions became a stranglehold, restricting the development of human knowledge. Aristotle's thinking was philosophy through many centuries to come, and in the Middle Ages it came to be regarded as gospel, preventing further development. Aristotle's thinking may have built the intellectual edifice of the medieval world, but it was hardly his fault that this eventually became a prison. Aristotle himself would never have allowed this. His works are littered with the kinds of inconsistencies that show a continually questioning and developing mind. He preferred research into the actual workings of the world to mere speculation about its nature. Even his mistakes often appear to have a poetic insight. Anger is the boiling of blood around the heart. The eye is made blue by the sky. In true Greek fashion, he saw education as the way forward for humanity, believing that an educated man differed from an uneducated one as much as the living from the dead. Yet his understanding of the place of education was not that of a shallow optimist. It is an ornament in prosperity and a refuge in adversity. He may have ended a bit of a pedant, but he gives indication of having known his share of suffering. He remained a teacher throughout his life and never sought to hold public office, yet no man throughout human history has ever had such a lasting effect on the world. In this we are fortunate, for Aristotle seems to have been a good man. He saw the goal of humanity as the pursuit of happiness, which he defined as the actualization of the best we are capable of. But what is the best we are capable of? In Aristotle's view, reason is man's highest faculty. Therefore, the best and happiest man spends as much of his time as possible in the purest activity of reason, which is theorizing. This is very much an innocent professorial view of happiness, hedonism as a purely theoretical pursuit. A few in the real world would subscribe to such a view, and those who do don't seem to be any happier than the thoughtless Philistine enjoying his lottery winnings. Similar objections apply to Aristotle's view that we should try to actualize what we do best. It is arguable that his famous pupil Alexander sought the actualization of the best he was capable of, inflicting suffering and death on countless thousands in the process. Yet it can also be argued that Aristotle sought to check such moral excesses with his famous doctrine of the golden mean.